Well, more than once during Jesus' public ministry, he would have said something that could have easily been hard to understand, or in other settings, something that was very challenging in nature, and often actually both of those in one statement. And our series that we begin today will be a look at some of those statements. We will discover a number of things as we look at them, because in fact they will help us cover a wide range of topics. The listing of the series is in the back of the program, and I think some of you have been peeking at that and going, yeah, that is a hard one to understand and grasp. So it will be interesting to see where this all takes us. Well, the best I could tell, it's actually today's passage that is the one specific place where we're told that what Jesus spoke was, in fact, a hard saying. Verse 60, that is actually part of the scripture portion given in our program today. Verse 60 says, "When many of his disciples heard it, they said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?'" And we'll be looking today at what Jesus said to get this sort of reaction. But it will not work for us to jump in to where Jesus said that. It is, in particular in this setting, important for us to get some background and context for Jesus saying what he said. And it is the way that we will come to actually grasp what it was that he said and why he might have said it. And in doing that, the portion of John chapter 6 that we have in our program doesn't go back far enough. In fact, I'm pretty sure it wouldn't have fit very well. And so I'm going to help us work our way up to this portion, and it's going to be a little bit before we actually get to what's recorded here and read it together. Well, I think we've all had the experience of being a part of a crowd that had gathered for some purpose, some reason. And it could have been because someone famous or some group that was well known happened to make its way into our community. Maybe even someone like that walking down the street. And as they walked down the street, there was just a sudden flurry and rush of people to see this person or get out in front of them. It was 1992 when then President George Herbert Walker Bush made his way to Greenville. And I had never seen live one of our presidents. And so Ann and I decided, well, let's go see him. And we made our way out to the Greenville airport. We were living in Greenville at the time, and Air Force One landed and came over to a certain part of the airport. And he came out, and there was this crowd gathered behind the fence, but nonetheless a crowd. And we were part of that crowd who came in order to see one specific person. And I think, in fact, part of the reality of any president is that people will come and gather in order to see them. Well, what we know is that there was more than one occasion during Jesus' public ministry that he was pursued by crowds of people. In fact, that really is the backdrop, the background for our passage today. And what we actually are told in John chapter 6 is that there was a large crowd who had come to see him. And the particular setting for the large crowd that was mentioned was the hillsides along the Sea of Galilee. And the passage indicates that the crowds went there because they had seen or they had heard that Jesus was bringing the supernatural powers of God to a reality in such a way that those who were sick or needed healing were, in fact, being healed. And they wanted to come and see what it was that was taking place. And then on this hillside, we are told that another act of God takes place, that Jesus fed 5,000 men, and if there were women and children there, it would have been even more. And he did so starting with 5 loaves of barley and just 2 fish. And one can only imagine the sort of excitement that would have taken place as this was unfolding. But then we're told that Jesus leaves the setting and crosses the Sea of Galilee to the town of Capernaum. And he evidently did this by slipping away from the crowd. And when the crowd discovers that he's gone, what we're told is they go down and they load up onto boats and they head out in order to track and find Jesus again. And they eventually find him. And as they find him, that becomes the setting for what unfolds in our particular passage today. And it is at that moment, for whatever reason, Jesus decides that he has a need to challenge this crowd, to, in fact, confront them. And in essence, he asks them, why is it that you are pursuing me? What is it that you are looking for? Is it to see people be made well supernaturally? Is it for more food, like the food that you would have tasted and received on the mountainside? Is it to see more signs from God? And Jesus asked them this because he knew that in many cases that was exactly why people were chasing him from one spot to another. Now, it was for the show. It was for the excitement. It was that they could see or touch or taste some reality that was coming into existence because Jesus was there. And Jesus' challenge to them, well, he plays off the feeding of the 5,000 and he says, you are looking for bread, but you are looking for bread in the wrong place and in the wrong sort of bread. You need food. You need nutrition, but you need that which comes from heaven. Food that will last, that won't perish. And it appears that this crowd, as they hear Jesus say this, tries to understand what he is saying. And his listeners mention the bread of heaven that they've heard about before. And they remember that the story of the manna that came from heaven and that was provided by God for the people of God as Moses led them through the wilderness. And they mention that, but that isn't what Jesus has in mind. And he tries again to make his point. And in verse 32, which is still before what we have recorded, Jesus said this, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, yet do not believe. So what we have is people who have been chasing Jesus from spot to spot. And we might think that that's good. Isn't it good that people are actually pursuing Jesus? But it's clear that Jesus isn't so sure about that. They are chasing him and pursuing him for physical reasons, and they are not seeking him in a spiritual sort of way. Someone has described this crowd as actually being materialist. Those who are living life in the realm of what they can see, what they can touch, what they can taste, what they can smell. And it is at that point Jesus attempts to say, there is more to life than that. There is more than what you can just see or taste or touch. And more than that, the source of that life, Jesus says, is me, because I am the bread of life. So did those who were listening say, boy, this is great. Yes, we need more to life than what we can see or touch. And yes, there really must be a deeper reality to life. And yes, Jesus, it's obvious to us that you are the source of this deeper life. And if you think about it, it would make sense maybe to us that they would have seen this, for they were those who had witnessed the healings and the miracles and the feeding of the thousands and would have seen much more and should have seen enough to know that Jesus was in fact the source of something more. But that is not their response. They obviously don't get it. Unbelief is firmly in place in their lives, and they do not have eyes to see and ears to hear what it is Jesus is saying. In fact, we read in verse 41 this about their response. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that comes down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus had been trying to point them in the right direction, but they were not getting it. So he's going to make one more attempt, one more try to help them understand. And believe it or not, we actually come now to the portion of the passage that we have recorded in our program. And we read, picking up in verse 47, and I'll read through verse 61, where this is what we're told. "Truly, truly, I say to you," Jesus speaking, "whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, not like the bread of that the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this?" Well, we've gotten to what is, in fact, the hard saying in this passage. And it's in verse 53. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." So what is it that's going on here? What was it that Jesus was attempting to say? Well, first of all, this really was shocking to those who were listening to them. It was a shocking saying to the extent that they said, "Who can even listen to this?" You know, there are those people in the public eye who are known for saying shocking sorts of statements. They are shocking just, if you will, for the sake of being shocking. Actually, in many cases, shocking for the sake of being irreverent. And certain people can come to mind who have that role in life. But there are also preachers who can, from time to time, say things that are shocking. And hopefully they do so not just for the sake of being shocking, but to make a point to the people who maybe need to hear and have their attention drawn to what is being said. But in our passage, we have Jesus saying something that is clearly shocking to those who are listening. And why does he do that? Well, it was part, in part at least, an attempt to get through to his listeners, to shock them into paying attention to what he was trying to say to them and help them maybe work harder to grasp what it is that he was trying to say. And this isn't the only time Jesus used this approach. So we're going to look at some of those other examples where Jesus said those things that were just absolutely shocking. For example, Jesus would say, if your eye causes you to sin, do what? Pluck it out. That is a shocking sort of thing. And with these sorts of statements, Jesus is clearly trying to get people's attention and to get their attention about things that are important, to get their attention about spiritual realities of life. Even when Jesus said, you must be born again, it was meant to get the attention of those who would have first heard it. Born again? Go back into my mother's womb? No, it was Jesus trying to speak of spiritual realities to people who wanted to think in materialistic sort of ways. So what was Jesus actually trying to say? Someone has said Jesus is using here the language of consumption. He understood that we are nourished by our intake. We are nourished by what we eat. Our bodies are nourished by intake of food. Things like bread, which is often a staple of life in many parts of the world. But our souls are nourished by intake as well. And Jesus is saying that you need to consume me, not in a physical sort of way, but his living spiritual existence. And this is done by belief in him and through faith in him. And through that faith, when we respond that way, what's the Bible say? It says that we are in Christ and he is in us. About this passage, Augustine has said, believe and you have eaten. Believe in Jesus and you have eaten. So did Jesus finally get these crowds to understand who he was and how they really needed to not just believe in him but relate to him? Well, verse 66, which is right after what is in our program, tells us this. It says, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. In the end, the effect of this hard saying, the effect of this even shocking saying, was that many people did not get it, and they turned and they walked away. Well, what is it that we might actually learn from all of this? Well, I think the first is this, that there is, in fact, a sobering truth here. And that it is that being in the presence of Jesus and seeing his mighty works and having him explain clearly and even sometimes in shocking terms about life and about faith and about who he was and about how he can make the difference in all this, having that in place wasn't a guarantee that people would grasp who he was and why they needed him. And why is that? Well, I think one way to understand this is that people in this life get locked into their paths in life. That is one of the effects of sins. There's a verse, I think, that in many ways grasps this for us, and it's found in the book of Proverbs. And it says, there is a way that seems right to a man. There's a way that seems right to us, but the end is the way of death. And people have perspectives and understandings of life that they think are right, and they are going to pursue them and stick to them, even though, whether they know it or not, it is a path that can lead to death. And as these folks interacted with Jesus, that was their posture in life. That is the lenses which they looked at him, and they were unable to grasp who he was and what he was trying to say. And they were going to pursue the path of life that they thought was right. But next we see here how far Jesus was willing to go, at least initially in a verbal way, in a verbal sense, to try to get people's attention, to try to get them to understand the reality of who he was. He was willing to use hard sayings, even shocking sayings, to try to help people understand. And it would be later in the gospel accounts that we would actually see how far he was willing to go in the ultimate sense to rescue people from their paths of life that were leading them to death. He was willing to go to the cross. He was willing to give his own life in our place for our sins in our errant paths of life. But thirdly, there hangs over this whole account, as there in fact does over life, that question. How can anyone come to believe and abandon their paths of life that we believe are so right? And Jesus gives the answer to that actually in this account and repeats it again in verse 65, the last verse in our program today, where, and he said that as Jesus said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." People can and do come to believe and trust in Jesus Christ. It is the work of God in their lives. We can't get ourselves free from the paths of death, but God can and God does. And it happens as he gives us eyes to see, as he gives us ears to hear the reality of who Jesus really is and why he has come into this world. And many of the crowd that were with Jesus walked away, but not all of them did. There were those who stayed, and presumably the work of God was taking place in their lives. So here we are today. And we are among those who are walking off to pursue our paths in life, those paths that we might be convinced are right? Or are we among those who stay and want to be with Jesus, who want to digest Jesus and all of who he is and all of what he has for us? Because we have come to see that, in fact, he truly is the bread of life for us. Well, let's turn to the Lord and ask him for his grace in these matters. Lord Jesus, we do come to you grateful that you did come into this world and that you came to be the very bread of life for us, that in you and in our consumption of you and in our digesting of all of who you are, you give us the life of heaven. And we would thank you for that. And we know that that has been made available to us because you were also willing to give yourself on the cross for us. Lord Jesus, we would praise you and ask that by your grace we would become a people who would seek to give you our all, even as we seek to take in all of who you are. Lord, give us grace in these matters, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.